Ishi Ghat is the holy place where Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastime of killing the demon Keshi. Keshi was one of the associates of Kamsa. Krishna had killed so many of Kamsa's asuras. Toward the end of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, Kamsa was becoming more and more and more desperate. He sent the demon Keshi, who assumed a form of a gigantic horse. This horse was of such immense size that his tail was in the clouds. In great anger, he was galloping into Vrindavan. The entire earth was shaking. There was terror in everyone's heart. Krishna, with his arm leaning upon one of his friends, smilingly welcomed Keshi to Vrindavan. He challenged Keshi to fight. Keshi was so huge that he desired to trample Krishna to death. Krishna picked him up, whirled him around, and threw him a great distance. When Keshi got up, he was even more ferociously angry. He attacked Krishna with his giant mouth open. Krishna placed his beautiful lotus hand within the mouth of Keshi. As he was doing it, all the teeth of Keshi were knocked out. His hand began to expand. It expanded so big it filled the entire mouth of Keshi. And it was hot, like a red hot iron rod. It grew to such a size that Keshi could no longer breathe. His eyes bulged out of his sockets. He tried to scream, but no sound could even come out. He was in so much terrible pain that he fell over. He passed urine and stool simultaneously, kicked his legs, and died. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai! After killing Keshi, Krishna took his bath here at Keshi Ghat. And from that time, this is the most sacred place in the Jamuna of Vrindavan. Every evening, around the time of sunset, there is a very beautiful aarti ceremony offered to Jamuna Mai at Keshi Ghat. Today, we're going to perform a very special ceremony in the month of Kartik at Keshi Ghat for the pleasure of a very beloved Vaishnava, Abhiram Thakur Prabhu. On his disappearance ceremony, we spoke at some length about him. He was such a special devotee. Wherever I traveled in the world, I spoke about Abhiram Thakur. And literally everywhere, in Germany, in Italy, I believe, in England, at New Vrindavan, in Florida, in Los Angeles, in San Jose, in 26 Second Avenue in New York. Wherever we spoke his glories, devotees cried. Ukraine. And some of the very senior godbrothers of ours, after hearing about him, with tears in their eyes, were expressing, when will that day be, in what birth, that I will have such qualities as Abhiram Thakur. Abhiram Thakur was born in Bengal. He was a family man. Later on, he lived in Karachi, Pakistan. He risked his life. He was the first person to bring Prabhupada's books by shipment into Pakistan. Actually, it takes at least an hour to even begin to describe his glories. But I would like to say some of his qualities. He got one back to Godhead. In Karachi, there was no Hare Krishna movement. There was no books. But a couple of devotees were there trying to preach. Somehow or other, through his son, he got one back to Godhead. Reading the article by Srila Prabhupada, it completely transformed his life. He surrendered his life to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. He read that magazine over and over and over and over again. On the basis of what he read in that one Back to Godhead magazine, he preached to his whole family and gradually made them devotees. He was longing, praying for the association of some of Srila Prabhupada's servants. Those who think that Prabhupada is gone can take great lesson from this story. He received that Back to Godhead in about 1982, 5 years after Srila Prabhupada had disappeared from this world. But just by reading that magazine, he gained such faith that he dedicated his life to Srila Prabhupada and wanted nothing else but to serve him. Later on, he met devotees. He became the first paying life member in all of Pakistan. He was the only Bengali Brahmin in all of Pakistan. He was very wealthy, had a very nice house, and he was the executive manager of an international corporation. Anyways, when he saw that it was more favorable to practice Krishna consciousness in India due to so much persecution and terrible obstructions in Pakistan, he came and bought a nice little house in Pune where his family was very eager to take care of him. He was very old, very sickly, but still he dutifully took care of his wife and children. Then his wife died. By Abhiram Thakur's influence, she became a very, very sincere devotee of Krishna and Tulsi Devi. Then he got his youngest daughter married. When his grihastha duties were taken care of, he put his youngest son under the care of his elder sons. At the age of 63, he came to Radha Gopinath temple and begged, "Please, let me be a brahmachari in your ashram." It's very rare we have an example of a true vanaprastha in our movement. His children were willing to take care of him in affluence and comforts, but he did not want that. Sickly, 63-year-old aristocratic man chose to live on the floor of the brahmachari ashram. And for those of you who know Radha Gopinath's temple, everyone just sleeps in one hall. There's no private rooms. Noise throughout the night sometimes. Standing in line to get to a bathroom. Abhiram Thakur, when the brahmacharis were preaching late, he would often stay up late for them to give them special prasad when they returned. When they were sick, he was really like a Bengali mother. He knew all these traditional remedies. He would make pastes and cook different types of medicinal prasad. And he would sometimes even massage the feet of the brahmacharis if there was something wrong with their feet. He simply wanted to serve. He had such humility. He wanted to please the devotees. Abhiram Thakur, when he would cook, he would only cook the recipes that Sachimata or Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or the other associates of the Lord cooked for Mahaprabhu. He would take all his recipes directly from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if there was any ingredients missing, he would send his children or go himself to the villages of Bengal to find out how it was made. His prasad, each preparation, was effulgent with devotion. Never have we tasted such nectarine prasad as that cooked by the hands of Abhiram Thakur. Every single vegetable was exactly the same size, the same shape. He did everything with such precision within that sabji. He would spice it with so much care and so much attention. That's the way he did everything. When he would sweep the floor, he would sweep it with such thorough, enthusiastic devotion. When he would care for a sick devotee, he put his heart and soul into every little service he did. Nothing was a ritual. Everything was for the pleasure of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Therefore, everything had to be done as perfectly as possible. When he would listen to the classes, I never saw him sleep. He was the most eager person to hear Krishna Katha. When everyone else in the temple would be sleeping, as they usually do when I speak, he would be in rapt attention. When he was there, I was usually just giving class for him. The reciprocation coming from him made the greatest fulfillment to any speaker who was giving Bhagavad Katha. At any time we would speak about Srila Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tears would flow from his eyes and his limbs would tremble. But no one saw, because he always stood in the back. He was constantly chanting the names of Krishna. What time did he get up in the morning?
2:30 maybe.
He would get up at 2:30 every morning. Even when he was up late, waiting for brahmacharis to serve them, he would be the first one up in the morning, chanting the holy names. And when he would chant, he really just chanted with so much feeling. He would chant all day. He was famous amongst the brahmacharis for constantly chanting, Krishna! He would chant, Krishna! Throughout the day, throughout the night. Where my room is, there's just a little, very, very thin, almost like a cardboard wall between where I sleep and where Abhiram Thakur would sleep. And one time some of the leading brahmacharis were speaking to me till late at night, and they heard through the little wall, Krishna! Krishna! I remember Shamananda Prabhu asked, if you like, we can shift Abhiram Thakur to another part of the ashram. Because, you know, how will you sleep? He's always chanting like this all night. I told him, please do not do like this. I'm becoming purified by hearing him chanting. But when I hear the brahmacharis gossiping, that disturbs me very much. He would call out Krishna with such helplessness, with such feeling. And he was always singing the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, always explaining their meanings to the devotees. He loved to hear about Krishna. He loved to chant about Krishna. Although he was very old and very sickly, he would dance with the brahmacharis. He would sometimes lead the most devotional tulsi pujas and kirtans. He was such an example, very, very rare. And one of the wonderful qualities is how menial and humble he wanted to serve. He never took any position. He was never a president, he was never a temple commander, he was never a head pujari. He never had any position. He just wanted to serve. The essence of Krishna consciousness was very much embodied in him. Abhiram Thakur was like father for all the brahmacharis. And very fatherly, like a well-wisher to many of the devotees of our congregation. He treated many of the Matajis like his own daughters. In Abhiram Thakur, we experienced the mature understanding of what Vaishnav culture really is. Just about a year and a half ago, we built some guest rooms. And one guest room was specially designated for Abhiram Thakur. It had a private bathroom. It was clean, a little quiet, private. So we asked Abhiram Thakur, please take this guest room. He began to cry. He said, I have worked my whole life for wealth. I've given it all up. And at the end of my life, I've achieved the ultimate wealth of laying amongst the brahmacharis in the ashram. To live there is the highest perfection of my life. I said, please, Maharaj, please, never take me away from the brahmachari ashram. I want to live amongst the sadhus. I have no other desire. Whatever inconvenience is there, it is my luxury. It is a small price to stand in line to the bathroom, to be in crowded rooms 24 hours a day, to get the association of these sadhus. Lived in the ashram for 5 years. He was very sick. He had internal bleeding, very dangerous disease. He had to go to hospital, emergency. One day I visited the hospital. I was walking up the steps before you walk down the whole hallway to his room. From the steps I heard him loudly chanting the songs of Thakur Bhaktivinoda. When I came in the room, he was singing from his little Bengali songbook. He was so happy to be just singing the names of Krishna. The nurse came to give him an injection. He said, I will not allow you to give me the injection until you hear what I have to say. And he started explaining the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is crying out that I am suffering terribly due to my past sins. And in this, I deserve so much worse. But in this state, my only hope is to cry out the name of Krishna and fall and take shelter of his lotus feet. And he made the nurse, he said, unless you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, you cannot give me this injection. Now, she knows if I don't give him the injection, he will die. He was that serious. And if he dies, she loses her job. So she chanted very enthusiastically. And as she was giving injection, he took this as the opportunity to have the whole hospital hear the holy name. In the guise of being in great pain with the needle in his arm, he was crying out, "Krishna!" If he did it any other time, people would think he was mad. Abhiram Thakur took every opportunity to glorify Krishna. The deities of Radha Gopinath he loved very dearly. He was very eagerly awaiting the appearance day of Radha Gopinath, which was on Hira Panchami this year. On that day in the morning, he drank some water and told one of his sons that the water has never tasted so sweet. His son understood, I think this means he wants to leave his body today, that this is the auspicious time. Later on in the day, he began to vomit blood. He vomited practically all the blood out of his body. As he was vomiting liter after liter of blood, he was chanting a song of Bhakti Vinod in glorification of Srimati Radharani. Is it possible for anyone, when they're coughing all the blood of their life out, to be chanting a bhajan in glorification of Srimati Radharani? It is not humanly possible. But because of his sincere and humble devotion, and his great attachment to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and pleasing the Vaishnavas, Radharani appeared within his heart and awakened this desire to glorify her. After that, he was practically unconscious. The last words he spoke was, "Mother Radharani, I'm ready. Please take me." Then he turned to his son and said, "Please get Guru Maharaj and the Vaishnavas." And those were the last words he spoke. We are in Vrindavan. We have just come from the Samadhi Mandir of Srila Rupa Goswami. It is the ultimate perfection of all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to become the servant of Srimati Radharani. Abhiram Thakur, because of his immense faith in Srila Prabhupada, because of his enthusiasm to hear and chant and humbly serve the devotees, at the time of his death, that deep love and remembrance for the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani awakened within his heart. This is a very important lesson, that if we simply have that kind of faith in Srila Prabhupada's mercy, Abhiram Thakur, when he was in Pakistan, any book he had of Prabhupada that he would get, it was so rare, he read it again and again and again. He loved Srila Prabhupada. I have said it many times. Although he took initiation from me, I always considered him my older godbrother. Because his love and faith in Srila Prabhupada's mercy was very, very rare. And I worshipped that faith in him. And because of that faith and his humble desire to serve, Srimati Radharani appeared in his heart at the time of his death. He was unconscious, and then we all came and we put a beautiful altar in front of him, placed the garland of Radha Gopinath and Srila Prabhupada around his neck, put tulsi leaves and Ganges water in his mouth and Jamuna water. And we were standing around him loudly chanting in his ear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. in that environment Abhiram Thakur gave up his life. I'm sure he's wherever Prabhupada wants him to be. In his life, only a few people knew him. But in his passing, hundreds and perhaps thousands of people are truly inspired and enriched in their faith by hearing of his story. Well, today, for his pleasure, we will submerge his ashes in the holy river Jamuna. His beloved son is with us. Where? Hare Krishna. And the two of us will bring the ashes. We will take a boat to the center of the Jamuna and place his ashes within it. In the meanwhile, if all of you could be singing the prayers of the departed Vaishnavas, then they would have kirtan. Thank you very much. Abhiram Gopal Thakur Ki Jai. Mudraka is the headquarters of the Hare Krishna movement for North America. While I was there during the Srimad Bhagavatam class, we spoke the glories of Abhiram Thakur. Present were Giriraj Maharaj and the Mogalila Prabhu. So they both spoke at very wonderful length about Abhiram Thakur's pastimes in Pakistan and how fearlessly and selflessly he served the devotees there. And I spoke quite a lot of length about what we have witnessed in his life in Bombay. Devotees were so moved. The temple was full. Usually there's a time limit for class, but they let me go on for almost 2 hours. No one left. At the end, Nrsingananda Prabhu, who's head of ITV, ISKCON Television, he said he wants to make a documentary on Abhiram Thakur's life. Another person that was there was Amala Bhakta, who makes beautiful hundreds and hundreds of tapes describing Krishna's Leela. He was in tears, and he came to me afterward, was praising Abhiram Thakur's qualities. Another devotee that was there was Dravida Prabhu, who was the senior editor of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. He's the senior editor who has put out the new editions of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Krishna Book and so many other publications. Brilliant scholar. And one of his very dear projects is to take the verses and the songs of great Vaishnav saints and put English translation in rhyme to sing. So while I was discussing the story of Abhiram Thakur, he was in very, very rapt attention. And then the next, he was thinking the whole while of a particular verse from the Stavavali of Rupa Goswami. And after that class, he was chanting japa, and he was meditating on the qualities of Abhiram Thakur. And from his heart, all of a sudden, a beautiful poetic translation of a particular verse came to his mind. And he decided that this translation will be dedicated to Abhiram Thakur. Now, Dravida Prabhu is in Vrindavan today. In the morning during japa, he came up to me, during Tulsi worship, and he said, "I wrote a beautiful sloka in honor of Abhiram Thakur." I told him, "Today we're going to have a ceremony of submerging his ashes in Jamuna. Could you come and read it?" He said, "I'd love to come, but there's a BBT meeting and I have to be there." So he wrote it down and requested that I read it on his behalf. It's a verse by Sri Kaviratna. It's from the Padyavali, not the Stavavali. It's from the Padyavali, verse number 41, which is compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Dravida Prabhu has dedicated this verse and his poetic translation to the memory of Abhiram Thakur. Because when he heard the story, he felt that these qualities were so much in him. Aho, aho, bir, namakala, viduyate, sudha, sudhara, maduram, pade, pade, dinedane, chandana, chandra, sitalam, yasho, yashoda, tanayasya, giyate. Because at every step they drink a flood of wondrous nectar sweet, whose cooling power sandal paste enhanced with camphor can't defeat. They feel as if the raging blaze of Kali's days have never begun. How blessed are they who fill their days with praise of Sri Yasoda's son. Abhiram Thakur ki.